And grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, dear friends, dear listeners, as we join in this time shared together this morning, we are blessed to live in the theology and under the theology of the cross. You know, God never promised that life on this earth would be without trouble. In fact, he informs us of the very opposite. You can read about it in John chapter 16, where Jesus says, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Now, it's important to realize that Jesus spoke these words just hours before he would be crucified on the cross. He was comforting the apostles that were with him as he comforts you and me, as he is with us always and with us now as well. But the Lord informs us, this should not be a shock to us, that life on this earth is full of trouble. But you know what? The good news is that God's light shines even in the midst of trouble. Did you hear it in our epistle reading this morning from Ephesians chapter 5? I begin again at verse 8, and listen closely to these words. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true, and try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. We are blessed as children of faith to have God's light dwelling within our hearts. We're blessed to live in the light. And yes, even in the midst of a world of darkness, and especially we appreciate the light. Paul, as God inspired these words, says, at one time you were darkness. And so God speaks to each one of us, reminding us from where we have come. We are all sinners. We would all be lost and condemned. We would all be embracing the darkness. We would not desire the light at all if it wasn't for God's intervention and a total change that he has brought to you and me in our lives. For at one time, you were darkness. But you know, now we are blessed to be light. We are blessed to know Jesus Christ. We are honored to know that he has intervened in our lives and he has changed us forever. And by the way, when the Lord speaks of the contrast of darkness and light, it's not in the sense of misery and happiness. You know, a lot of people live in the theology of glory on earth, and it promotes prosperity theology. It promotes that, you know, once you come to faith, then all the troubles of your life will cease to be. And the only reason they're still in your life is because your faith isn't strong enough. Well, that's not what God clearly reveals to us, but that's a theology of glory. We're not going to have that glory in its fullness and pureness on earth. We will experience it one day in heaven. But we live under the cross. We live in the theology of the cross. We follow, even in the season of Lent, Jesus' journey to the cross. And we're reminded of the intense trouble that you and I, and even as Christians, we have more to bear because we are bearers of the light in a world of darkness that does not like the light. But we need not fear, because we live in the grace of God. We live in his presence. And the contrast, really, of darkness and light is sin and ungodliness compared and in contrast to holiness and purity. And so you and I, as God's children, we have been called into this beautiful new life of holiness and purity, but the reality remains this side of heaven. We're still saint and sinner. And so even the darkness once in a while encroaches in our lives, and we allow that ugly darkness to even spew out of our own lives. We are saint and sinner. And that's where the Lord calls for repentance. It's why it's so important. At every service, at the beginning, we confess our sins together. We acknowledge the need for repentance, which means to recognize our sin and to have the desire then to want to turn away from it. And only through God's intervention can we have that desire. But that's repentance. To want to make a 180-degree turn away from darkness and turn to the light. You know, and certainly in our land right now, we can't miss that message of God's calling for repentance. You know, Jesus talks about the end times, and some of the events of the end times happened this very last week. Simultaneously, the pestilence that is going across the world with the coronavirus and an earthquake in Utah, right? Pestilence and earthquakes are signs of the end times, and signs not to cause us to be afraid, but signs to have us turn to God and recognize our sin and realize that life on this earth is very short-lived. And so we see, though, the darkness clearly revealing itself, even in this pestilence, in the ways that people are responding to it. I don't know about you, but have you sensed the absolute fear that people have, and fear to the extent of even being terrified about this event? Well, living in fear, living in terror, is living in darkness. I've even heard of people talking about they're going to purchase guns. They need to protect themselves. They think in the near future there's going to be mayhem and people are going to try to break down their doors and try to get their food supplies. And I like to say, chill a little bit. Yes, we need to defend ourselves. We have that right. But that's a thinking of darkness, that the first thing is I got to get guns. Instead, maybe we ought to think about our neighbor. Instead of waiting for somebody to come and try to steal from us, that we would go to them and ask them if they're in need of anything. But darkness is really a narcissistic life. It's all about me. It's focused on what I want. And in times like this, that narcissism can come out in very ugly ways, where there's little or no concern for neighbor, but it's all about me. I'm going to protect myself. I'm going to make sure I'm comfortable and safe at the expense of my neighbors around me. And there's no thought of making a personal sacrifice. See, that's the theology of glory thinking. The theology of the cross, as we look at Jesus, the very Son of God who came in the flesh, He didn't run from trouble in the world. He didn't come to make His life comfortable at the expense of others. But Jesus, the very Son of God in the flesh, who had the power to do everything, did the greatest thing of all. He chose to lay His life down. The greatest sacrifice ever made in a world of darkness, that we could have this light that we are so blessed to know and to live in. But with this is great responsibility. Did you hear it in our reading this morning? There's a twofold command that God gives to us as children of light. And so let's take seriously our calling, and especially at this time, in light of our circumstances. And here's the first part of that command of being light. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness. And so in our current times and application, do not contribute to the fear that is embracing so many people, the fear that is consuming their lives. Children of light, do not live in fear. Do not approach this whole situation with a narcissistic heart of thinking just about yourself, but instead look out for your neighbor. Seek them out and bring to them the good news. Do not hoard limited products. You know, the way that this can reveal itself in simple ways as a child of light is at the grocery store, and you have maybe a couple, I don't know what it is with toilet paper, but you have a couple packages of toilet paper, and somebody is just absolutely desperate. It's like their life is going to end if they don't have toilet paper and the shelves are empty. You can just pull them out of your cart and say, here, you need these more than I do. Can you imagine what just that one little act can do in another person's life? First of all, you're showing them that you realize your dependency is on something much greater than toilet paper, and you're willing to share with them who are desperately in need. And so take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness. That's the first part of this command. And then there's a second piece, and this one is much more challenging. But instead, expose them. Expose them. You know, when light shines in the darkness, it exposes the works of darkness. And as children of the light, we know God's moral law. We know His Ten Commandments. We know His truth is absolute, no matter if the whole world rejects it. And you and I are called to stand firm, unapologetically, in the truth that we are blessed to possess. But to do this first and foremost in the context of our times, through your calmness, through living life, expressing peace and calmness just by our demeanor, but especially when we can express where that comes from, by our conversation, when you're in the midst of people, maybe it's via the internet or whatever, the gloom and doom messages that are out there, don't contribute to those. But instead, bring that calmness, that peace, and remind people of the blessings. I was trying to share with people last week, boy, talk about an object lesson from God in the crisis, the beautiful moisture that He brought to this area. We've been praying for usable moisture, and we could have not received it in a more beautiful way. And it's just like God smiling on us and saying, it's okay. People need to hear that peace. And you know, with Facebook and all the other avenues out there, people can communicate throughout the world instantly negativity and darkness. But as a child of light, we have the true message, and let's share it with the world through the means God provides. And of course, by our influence. You know, when others are around you and me, what do they experience in our presence? And that's a question I'd like each of us to really seriously ponder. When you're out and about, and now I know it's limited, but when people are around you, what do they sense from you? Is there something in a positive way? Or can it be very negative? But just by our actions, we can expose the darkness. We children of light are living in very opportune times. A week ago, most would not want to know about the hope within us, right? They could care less about the hope within us as Christians and how things change in just a week's time. And I affirm to you that there are many now that are considering hope. And where do I find hope? Where do I find solid ground in the midst of it seems as though everything's falling away under my feet? My life is crumbling away. If you don't have God, that's the way it's appearing at this present time. But we are children of the light. We have that hope. And what an opportune time. One of the better times, maybe in our lifetime, that people may listen and we can share that hope with them. And of course, that directs us right back to Christ, doesn't it? Because Jesus is the light by His own confession. In John chapter 8, Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And you and I are blessed to be in communion with the Lord. You know, it's Jesus who also says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. It's only through Jesus, because Jesus is the only one who could fulfill the law as true man. He was the only one who could go to the cross and pay the punishment for everyone's sin. And He has done that. And so Paul defines the fruit of light with these words, goodness and righteousness and truth. That's what we have in our possession, goodness, righteousness, and truth. And you know, we have this mandate from God as children of light. It's from 2 Corinthians chapter 4. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. We have the gift of life. It's our possession, and it naturally shines from us as God's precious children. But now you are light in the Lord, says our God. And so by God's grace, we have been rescued from the darkness. And by God's grace, we can share the light with a world that is very dark. You know, I'd like to conclude with these words. And they come from Jesus, Matthew chapter 5, as he speaks again of the light. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds. Listen to this. That they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. You see, even the good deeds we do are not to draw attention to ourselves, but we do them with the hope that others will see Christ in us, and as a result, they'll give glory to God for the deeds that have been done. What a calling you and I have been given. What a world we are living in at the present time. But dear brothers and sisters in Christ, what a blessed time for the church to be able to witness and give testimony to God's truth, his love, the light that is life-giving now and for eternity. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, God bless you and be with you and uphold you. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts and minds always in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.